see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Oh, and something I wanted to ask you, Kayla, as a hair guru to
yes.
America. did anyone notice the hair of Jordan's brother Luke's girlfriend?
Yes.
It was like a blonde, side part, bouffant.
Perfect waves.
Like, it looked shellacked.
It probably was.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was like, this is my 2 seconds.
I know,
and it is not going to move.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
Last night on The Bachelorette, JoJo finally got taken home to meet mom and dad and mom and dad and mom and dad and mom and dad.
And we found out what happens at the rose ceremony when there's literally no guy left with a different haircut for her to get rid of.
And the answer
really
is
tough.
She just can't pick.
Yeah.
She literally can't pick.
So to talk hometowns and the big cliffhanger from last night and, of course, all of this Robbie drama, we're joined by hometown date hero Kayla Quinn, a new New Yorker. We're so thrilled to have her in our city, who is currently working in marketing for a fitness company. And of course, as you all know, she's a Bachelor alum.
Thank you, Emma, Claire, for having me.
Yeah,
thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, so let's dive right in. There was so much to talk about last night.
At least this one is easy to split up. We had our four very distinct hometowns, even though the men are not distinct.
The men are not distinct.
They do live in different cities.
Yeah, the hometowns are the best part, though, because everyone gets an equal amount of time, you know? And
it's
you really get to see the personalities flourish.
Yeah, and we really saw that with the first hometown tonight, which was Chase, who I didn't know had a personality.
This was the most likable that he's been.
I didn't think...
He actually smiled.
Yeah,
I've never seen his facial
smile.
Expression change.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think when you're at your hometown and you bring someone home, you really show them a place that you feel most comfortable. And it's really important to JoJo is feeling safe and seeing his home. I think she felt really safe and secure. Like, he does have a life back home. And like you're saying, his personality did flourish.
Yeah. He definitely felt so much more comfortable.
Yeah, I actually really liked him last night. And before, I'd been having a little bit of a hard time because he would say things but keep the exact same facial expression and be very monotone. And last night, I was like, oh, you can move your face.
Yeah.
So good to know.
Yeah, you're not a robot.
Yeah, you're not actually a robot human.
Yeah. R2, I love you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it must be interesting for you to watch these hometowns back, especially because you know JoJo. You spent a good amount of time with her.
Yeah, you know, JoJo is just like a loose, light, fun kind of girl. And so she needs that kind of personality. And so you're right. Chase needs to kind of amp up the colorful, you know, not just use all the gray crayons in his coloring box. He needs to use the reds and the yellows and just spice it up a bit.
Yeah, and he opened it up on a really gray note with his visit with his dad.
Yeah.
Which was really intense. And he... you know, told JoJo that his parents were divorced. The divorce was really difficult. He doesn't see his dad that much.
Yeah.
They don't have the greatest relationship. His parents can't really be in the same room. So that was a really tough setup. And then his dad comes in and the awkwardness sort of just continued for me.
Yeah, although I thought they had like a fairly candid conversation given
the candidness.
How much
was almost like too candid though. And I was like, you're on a date. Like, okay, this is not the time.
Yeah. Also, to give you some background, when hometowns happen, basically the parents find out 2 days before. Like,
so it's that little.
You literally are airdropped in, like, you know, like a box out of the sky.
Wow.
And your parents have no time to prep or chat
with
you. And so, you know, it would have been nice probably for Chase to say to dad, you know, take a deep breath. I know we haven't chatted in a while, but, you know, this is important to me and I love you. And just to make the parents feel welcome. So you can kind of tell that Chase hadn't really spent a lot of his time with his dad before he went on the show. And then to disappear for a couple weeks, months, and then come back and say, hey, let's talk about our deepest, darkest secrets. Would you mind just, you know, telling me why you and mom haven't worked out? It's not really a great place to start.
Right. It's so intense.
There was a moment that just really stood out to me where JoJo's talking about how, like, solid of a man she thinks Chase is. She thinks he's so great. And his dad says, well, he's a good man. He's got a big heart. And Chase says, oh, I got it from you, Dad. And everyone sort of pauses because they know that's not true. Like, his dad, like, the whole rest of his hometown date is about how his dad really hurt their family and made them feel unloved and afraid. And so it's hard to then make that sincere moment of paternal connection.
I feel like he kind of had the biggest challenge in going into that date, especially because in the Bachelor universe, I feel like often divorce is framed as this, like, great failing. And if you are someone who's grown up in a household where you've experienced divorce, it's like that's almost seen as like a ding against you. Like Chase even says, like, I hope that doesn't affect how she sees me. And I found that really sad, especially given that, like, divorce is incredibly common.
It is incredibly
tons common.
Tons
of people have gone through divorces.
But, like, why can't those kids just, like, marry each other, you know? Like, and, like, the rest of us can just, like, not deal with it.
I was like, it's okay. Yeah. Like, Chase, you're allowed to be someone that is, like, appealing and still have had divorced parents. Like, that's okay.
I think another really hard part about hometowns is, like, you let them into your world and there's nothing you can hide. And so a lot of the times when you have a hometown, you kind of focus in on these big nuggets that you think that the bachelor or the bachelorette is going to focus on, like divorce or like me not, you know, I moved around a lot 17 times. And so I always thought that, you know, Ben might not like that I didn't have roots.
So you're like, I have to address this.
Exactly. But in the end, you just have to own where you come from and be confident in it. And, you know, you're right. Divorce is common. And his dad kind of explained that he, you know, was focusing on his career. And that's something that we should be proud of, because that's what every American does, you know, living the American dream. So you can't shame someone for having a background.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So in terms of hometowns, like, how much time did you get to, like, plan what you were going to do?
I think you kind of give them an idea a week before, and then right when the rose ceremony happens, it's like this magic wand is, like, flickered, and then you're magically placed in your hometown and everything is already planned for you.
Wow. Oh my gosh. So does that mean that Luke's candlelight path to nowhere was done for him? I'm just like,
I mean, I'm sure he said that he wanted to do something romantic,
and then
that was
like
what they came up with.
And it appeared
candles.
Yes. Oh my god! Yes. Bachelor interns do better.
Yeah, music, lights, camera.
I just imagine Luke, like, walking up to the path and being like, "This is not like what I hoped for."
Yeah.
Anyway,
back to Chase. I just have so many questions. Back to Chase's mother.
Yes.
She seemed great.
I really enjoyed their dynamic, but I was really taken aback by her conversation with JoJo, actually.
Really?
What did they say?
Because she talked a lot about how the divorce affected Chase in a authoritative way.
Yes. Well, I know it made me wonder how much the producers had kind of prepped the parents to be like, talk about the divorce. This is something that's going to be brought up. Yeah, because they all brought it up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clearly—
She seemed very prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're trying to explain Chase's backstory and explain, like, why he is the way he is. Mm-hmm. You can tell he's not – JoJo's all about the five love languages. If you read that book. You know, she brings it up all the time.
I read it in high school, and I had no idea how important it would be.
No, seriously. It's critical, guys. If for you to have a relationship in life or to be on The Bachelor, you have to have read this book. Seriously. They give it to you in the welcome package, practically.
Oh, my God.
But you can tell JoJo, she, like, brings it up all the time. Chase, you're not, like, a words of affirmation person. You're not a good communicator. Yikes. Yeah. You probably shouldn't say that all the time.
So this is like the big explanation for your flaw.
Yeah. And so clearly she keeps bringing up that he's a acts of service person and he shows his – but that's not really what she's looking for. So he probably needs to talk a little more.
Right.
Yeah.
The thing about the love languages is that having an explanation for why your partner isn't doing the kind of love language that you need – doesn't actually fix that problem in your relationship. It just doesn't. Like, the thing about the love languages is that you have to give them the kind of love that makes them feel loved. So if it's too hard for him to give that love, then they're just not a good match. And that's totally fair. Fine. If he's just not a person who's comfortable giving words of affirmation, that's fine. I really feel like this is not a good setting for Chase. It's tough for him to open up, and that's totally reasonable given his childhood and his backstory, and maybe he should just be in a really, like, slow burn monogamous relationship.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his sister's the same way, you can tell.
Yeah.
She's really struggled. They've never said, I love you. And, you know, that's something that even if you're a child of divorce, like, you should hear it all the time. So maybe they just didn't hear it enough growing up.
I mean, she did say that we weren't made to feel unconditional love.
Right.
Like,
clearly
from their dad.
There's some trauma there.
Yeah. And what interested me, and I really loved Chase and his mom together. They're really sweet and seemed normal in that way that they would say weird things. And I was like, actual families say weird things to each other.
Yeah, I liked that.
Yeah. It was actually weird to me the way that she sat down and was like, Chase can't communicate because of the divorce, but also he's completely healed from it and he's processed everything. And I was like,
but I feel like
those two things
party,
do not go together.
That's also just such the party line, even though it's like, realistically, everyone has their shit. Like, everyone has their shit, and probably none of us are fully healed from, like, whatever that thing is. But I feel like in this setting, it always has to be like, no, my son is perfect, perfectly ready for marriage, perfectly ready to, like, propose to you, and also has no emotional trauma. It's like, that's probably not realistic. Next up is Jordan. After
Jordan
we
Rogers.
Leave Chase, we're off to Chico, California.
I love that she's like, I'm in Chico, California. I've never heard of it. And then there's, like, deer everywhere.
I thought that was very charming, how excited
was
she was
adorable.
To see deer.
Yeah.
They were right by her.
I mean, I get excited
JoJo's
when I see
an animal
deer
person.
Also.
She loves dogs. In one of the deleted scenes, she's like, there's a dog that runs up to her in Argentina, I think. And she's like, oh, come, let me pet you. And then the dog actually runs away from her. And she's like, everyone's running away from me.
She's so unlovable.
No.
No, she's not at all. But it was a lot of deer. And then she was, like, running with the deer.
Yeah.
And she also has really long, slender legs. So it was appropriate. And then she sort of runs toward Jordan.
She likes him so much.
They have, like, off the chart bonkers,
like,
chemistry.
I just think she likes him the best and she's liked him the best.
Yeah.
I think running is always a good sign, too, because, like, you never get enough time with somebody. So to even get those extra few seconds and extra few steps in, I think is a lot. It's a buildup.
Yeah. And I feel like we often see that, like, especially with The Bachelorette, like, when the women really like the guys, they're, like, going for it.
Yeah. It can be hard to fake that kind of
excitement.
Just, like, the jittery excitement where you're like, oh, my God, he's here, he's here, he's here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely can't fake it, which is why I've only dated, like, two people. So she's really, really excited, and he is like, I can't wait to spend the whole day at my high school, which is a shrine to my older brother, who I do not want to talk about, but I will.
Yikes. I'm sure the producers were like, is gold.
I wonder, if they put extra photos there. Because there's no way – I'm sure, like, they had probably one photo waiting. But there are, like, 10.
I know,
it was,
right?
Like, every corner. It's like, where's the photo instead of where's Waldo?
I do think there are probably a lot of photos of Aaron Rodgers because he's such a big deal.
But are there that
I
many photos of Jordan?
School, No.
And all the photos of Jordan were him, like, really tiny, you know?
I know.
Like, prepubescent.
It was cute.
He was the spicy kid. He was spicy.
Yes.
He was so spicy. Sometimes he would try to run away, but not.
I've never heard a parent refer to their child as spicy. That's hilarious.
It was very odd.
Yeah. Take it from there. I mean, I took Ben to my high school as well. Yeah. And I think
yours was very pretty.
It's a place where you develop and feel really connected. And so I totally relate. And I think, you know, A+ gold star on his part.
Here's my question, though. Would you make out with The Bachelor in a high school for high schoolers library?
Yeah, that was weird. That was a little awkward.
I mean, I'm sure he wanted to make out with her somewhere. So he's like, where's the best place?
And I'm in a high school right now.
Probably the quietest. Don't tell anyone we're here.
I mean, I just have to assume that school is not in session.
Yeah, no.
It looked pretty empty.
Yeah.
But sometimes it is. When we filmed, it was in session.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. And it was in between classes. And so we had to, like, get people moving before all the kids were like, mobbing us.
Take photos?
They were. It was really funny.
That's amazing.
So we see him making out all over the high school. They clearly really like each other. And then, of course, we bring up Aaron Rodgers.
Well, JoJo brings up Aaron Robert.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers. Once, twice,
Jordan
three times, constantly.
Clearly does not want to talk about it at all. He's just like, this does not need to be a topic.
Yeah,
the
she's
end.
Like, I see a picture of Aaron, and he's a famous professional quarterback, so I thought I would point it out, and he just walked away. I guess I'll just ask him about it again. It's like, no, he doesn't want to talk about it. That's why he keeps changing the subject.
I think she's looking for a little more.
Yeah.
She is. I think, maybe she doesn't feel like he's opening up enough and this is like that one topic that she could really connect with him. Because if he doesn't share this with anybody, you know, how can you not share this with the person you're falling in love with or you're about to marry?
Also, if you're going to marry into a family that does have that kind of media visibility, that's definitely a thing. Also, this just made me really curious. Like, I'm just like, I want to know what happened there.
Well,
is Aaron not in touch with the parents either?
So here's what has been said by the gossip media.
Good, because I have no clue. So you're totally
I did like a little research. His family, Aaron Rodgers' family, parents, were upset that Olivia Munn spoke openly about their sex life. And
about Olivia's sex life with Aaron.
Yes.
Oh.
And so they sort of started to shun her and, like, wouldn't come to the games that she was at. And Aaron took her side because she is his partner.
Clearly.
Right.
And
that's such an odd thing to have a falling out over.
I know. When I read that, I was like, what?
I honestly, from the bottom of my heart, don't believe gossip magazines, because the thing is, if you saw their family, they let us in. They are very accepting, you know, we love our children kind of family. I feel like that wouldn't be the
one thing that kind of got me a little bit is when his brother said something about, you know, it's hard, but I believe that, like, God will bring things full circle. And I was like, I do think that there's, like, a big value thing that they might feel like Aaron has been taken in a different direction and they want him to be, like, brought back to the fold.
By fame, maybe.
And
by faith?
Filthy and whorebag.
Harlot woman.
Yes. No. I'm just quoting what I think that they might be thinking in their deepest of hearts.
I mean, that
and it's fictional.
Makes me sad because Aaron Rodgers and Olivia Munn seem awesome.
Yes.
They do seem great.
Also, they're still friends with Jordan's ex.
I wouldn't complain.
That's, like, I find that very interesting.
Something that JoJo kept saying that was really odd about regarding the ex slightly. I'm the first girl he's bringing home to meet the family who is a stranger. What does that mean?
Do you think they knew the girlfriend before? I don't know.
Like, yeah, were they family friends?
Maybe.
Maybe
she was someone
together?
Maybe she was someone who knew the family since she is still friends with Aaron.
maybe.
And Olivia. It's all it's all very interesting because Olivia Munn like Instagrams photos with his with Jordan's ex.
Right.
Oh. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a no-no.
Yeah, like they're still friends.
Okay.
Which is also interesting.
Yeah. Well, if Aaron's not going to and Jordan aren't going to talk, then it's not like there's any relationship to be careful about there.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, so the whole theme of the date was basically JoJo wants to know about Aaron Rodgers.
And no one really wants to talk about Aaron
Rodgers. And no one wants to talk about it. And also...
Also, the two empty seats was like...
But don't you think, like, maybe... Well, he's doing a really good job because it does feel like JoJo has, like, that pinata stick and she keeps, like, hitting the pinata, waiting for it to explode, waiting for the candy and the goods. But, yeah, I think I respect the fact that he wants to keep his family life private.
I was surprised by how much he said already, and maybe she thought that that was just, like, the first
No, I think he... I'm sure... look, if he's going on the show, he's gonna... He had to... think about, okay, how much am I going to share about this? Obviously, that's going to be a question. Like, it has to be addressed. And I feel like that was what we got, like, a couple weeks ago was, like, that was what he was going to say.
Yeah.
I think thought about it. Yeah. At the same time, I mean, from a behind-the-scenes perspective, you've got these producers that are with you all the time. And, you know, I'm sure that the producers are like, hey, you know, America's probably wondering what's happening. Maybe you should ask about it. Are you wondering too? And so she's like, oh, yeah, you know, I haven't talked about that in 5 minutes, so let me bring it up again.
Maybe now I'm he's ready. Oh, and something I wanted to ask you, Kayla, as a hair guru to America. did anyone notice the hair of Aaron's brother, Jordan's brother, Luke's girlfriend?
Yes.
It was like a blonde, like side part bouffant,
perfect waves.
Like it will, it looked shellac.
It probably was. Yeah. She was like, "This is my 2 seconds,
I know,
and it is not gonna move."
Yeah, I completely missed her name because while they were introducing her, I was so startled by her hair,
really,
that I was just like, "What?"
Yeah.
I know. I did feel a little bad that she didn't even get to, like, say one word.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were important things, like their broken relationship with Aaron, to
you know,
address.
The secret of Aaron is probably hidden in her hair.
Yeah.
And it's not coming out.
It's full of secrets.
Yeah, like, it's not moving.
And, yeah, the dinner conversation was really kind of awkward. Like, they're not a very, like, jovial family.
Right.
Like, they seem nice and, like, they love each other, but... not, like, super lively people.
And they kept focusing on those ghost chairs. It's like, whose presence is, like, missing?
Who are we missing on this table? Yeah.
Subtle.
Yeah, I know.
Very subtle.
Like, oh, I wonder who is missing.
Yeah.
Oh, so weird that there are two extra chairs.
I was like, this is a very poorly set up scene because there's just, like, extra stuff in it.
I know. I'm sure they were like, oh, you have two extra chairs? I think we need to sit these at the head and just, you know, this will be a better shot.
Yeah. And I did really love the mom trying to characterize Jordan as spicy. I just can't get over it. And how he
that
would...
That is not a word I would associate with Jordan. I'm
and,
not
like,
gonna
her
lie.
Description of it is that he would threaten to run away, but not.
Yeah, but he would, like, wait and, like, look at her or something. Yeah.
And then just
pack. Yeah, pack his backpack.
And then her thing was, like... if you want to run away, it's fine. I'll call the police. Yeah. So anything else from Jordan's date that we need to talk about?
Well, she wanted to tell him she loved him, too.
Aww.
But did not repeat Ben's mistakes, which seems wise.
It would be even really early to repeat Ben's mistake. There's still four guys left.
But it's just, I'm like, okay, you like him best. And his family has done a pretty good job of being like, he's a distinct person from Aaron Rodgers. That seemed like the main pitch. Like, Luke was like, look, he's not riding his brother's coattails. Also,
and
this
that's
is
something
a,
the guys from the house have said, too, even the people that don't super love him. So I buy that.
It seemed like, in general, Jordan was a pretty likable presence in the house.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And some people don't like his tight pants because they think they're girly. And I'm here
into
to
them.
Say...
I like them, too.
I like them. Yeah. And also, don't worry if people think you're a girly. Wear whatever you want. Some people find them really sexy.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jordan has great pants and great hair. I'm not opposed.
He does.
Yeah, I know.
Tip to toe.
Yeah. Maybe it's really high, but, like, that's fine. that's fine.
I respect it.
Yeah.
In a season of good hair, for real. Yeah. But also, I like give a lot of respect to Jordan that he didn't get a lot, didn't have a lot of beef in the house with anybody else. Because exactly. I think the key is to lay low. That's what I did my season. Like, you know, even if you do have conflict or want to say something, you just float under the radar.
Yeah, I feel like you didn't have conflict with anyone.
Yeah, and for the most part, it's also because people don't see your relationship with the person. And if they did, that's when the real conflict arises.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you, like, throw them against a wall in the middle of the rose ceremony and just, like, make out with them.
Yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't be
right.
a big deal.
If you're like, can I talk to you for a second? And then you just, like, shove them back and you're like, yeah. No, that would be awkward.
Yeah, that would.
Jordan, I think he's trying to emphasize that he loves her as they do their car side goodbye. And she's like, you say that now, but will you feel that way forever? So she is, like, 100% in, I think, except she's not sure that
she doesn't quite trust him.
Yeah. I think that she's afraid that she'll have a Brooke situation where she'll be ready to pick him, and then he'll be like, I'm not so sure I'm feeling this anymore.
JoJo's really sensitive, too, and she has had her heart broken twice. I mean, with her ex who, you know, we know that story. And so she just wants to make sure that they're fully committed. Trust is a big thing for her.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
It's also, it's tough in this situation because, of course, people can say, yeah, I'm in. And then you're like, wait, but you're agreeing to get engaged after, like, 8 weeks on a reality show. Like, this is, that's the situation
still.
Like,
people will, at this point in the show, often kind of just say what they're going to say to stay. I mean, I do think that people get caught up and it's hard to be honest.
Right. It's not necessarily a calculating, like, you know, snake move. It's more like
I do think that Jordan is excited about her and into her, but I think it could be hard for him to really conceptualize a life where he's committed to her forever.
I think it's hard. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I think it would be hard in general to be like, yes, I'm 1,000% sure 8 weeks in that we're going to get married and be happy forever.
You know, I don't know. I feel like you can, in the moment, have those feelings just because you have nothing else to think about. So you're like, why not think about the future, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And so,
How did it feel for you, like, in that moment?
I mean, you just focus on, like, the positives and everything, all the reasons why it would work. And so I feel like even when Jordan's talking to his mom, she's like, I've never seen you look this happy. Like, you seem like you're in a really good place. And that was a very sweet, intimate moment. And I think that was, like, kind of a preview of, like, how good he's feeling about the relationship. So I do think he has sincere feelings. Is it proposal feelings? Maybe not right in this moment, but that's what the next week and a half is for, where they just have, you know, that overnight, like, until the overnight fantasy suite, you really don't, like, feel that I love you, I could spend the rest of my life with you forever.
Because you haven't had off-camera time.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, they need some of that. And I think she needs it, especially with some of these guys like Jordan, where it seems like a lot of their time together is being really produced. Mm-hmm. Like, talk about Aaron, or with Luke, a lot of it is, you know, you're going on a horsey ride now because he's a cowboy. And it's like they need to really just strip all that away. Figuratively, and also maybe literally, like, clear the air, but strip all that away and talk, like, get down to what it would really be like. It's hard to spend even a few moments doing something other than talking The Bachelorette, but we have to take a short break. But don't leave. In a moment, we'll talk about Robbie's mama leaking his ex drama and Luke's slow transformation into the man on the cover of a Western-themed romance novel. Don't miss it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just, like, dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/love to see it. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or former Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Before we get back to the show, let's talk about finding Here to Make Friends on iTunes. If you haven't, now is a great time to subscribe and give us a rating. Every time we get a new subscription or review, our show climbs the iTunes chart, which helps other people discover our show.
All right, let's get back to hometowns. So next.
Yeah, speaking of
stripping it all away.
Yeah, take it off, Robbie.
Just kidding. We head, or not. We head to St. Augustine, Florida, where Robbie.
Yeah.
He looks like a plastic doll. I can't, like, the more the weeks go on, the more he looks like a Ken doll to me.
Especially this episode, because he was really shiny. He was really sweaty.
He was very shiny.
He was fresh out of the box.
But his hair still didn't move.
Yeah.
It's like industrial grade.
I actually might get tips from him.
You don't want that look.
Yeah, just slide into his DMs. Like, look, Robbie, I'm not trying to like date you, but just can you tell me what you do with your hair, please? Yes.
I mean, if you did that, you would end up looking like Luke's girlfriend, I think.
Oh,
just
probably.
Like the long pompadour that never moves.
Yes.
I don't know about that. I think people like your look the way it is. That's all I'm going to say.
That is true.
Thank
people
you.
Very into your hair. So with Robbie, it was so clear. Like, we all knew we're going to get to some, like, serious drama because the first half of it is just like, nothing could go wrong.
Yeah.
Like, this is the best date ever.
Yeah.
I feel the most strongly. He's so trustworthy. Like, I could hear the producers being like, yes, we're so do you think anything could go wrong, Robbie? No, probably not, right? Tell us about how very little could go wrong. Like, I was like, there's so much foreshadowing here.
Also, I loved how he opened the date by meeting her in this like beautiful downtown area and asking her if she could whistle because he can't. And she whistles to call the horse and carriage. And
yeah,
it really made me wonder what his backup plan was
if she couldn't whistle.
True.
I was like,
Did he have a whistle?
I would fail at that.
Yeah.
I can't whistle like that.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Not even close.
He should have practiced. Come on. He knew that was coming.
Yeah. Or he could have gotten like a bosun whistle or something. Like,
true.
That would have been my backup. I'm like, I can't, you know, count on my body to do anything properly.
Yeah, like, or just like use like Uber or something.
Yes, Pingdom.
Uber, horse,
yeah,
and carriage. Yeah, why don't we have
that
here in New York?
Yeah.
I want Uber for horse-drawn carriage.
Yeah, there might be, you know.
Yeah, I thought that was cute, though.
It was really sweet, too. And like, that is a very historic part. And he, you know, goes kind of planning his own bachelor date. And I think that's what's something that I did in my hometown. And you do it with the intention to impress the person.
Right.
And they got to spend a little time talking too, so that's good. But, yeah, I don't know.
So
family portion of the date.
Yeah.
They brought so many gifts with them.
So many. Like, she brought a bouquet of flowers to every single one, but this, like, there was a gift for every member of his family. I want to know what was in those bags.
I feel like he came from, like, an Asian culture or, like, some other country, because that's where you do. You come bearing gifts, one for each family member.
Or maybe that's what you do from a family where you call your father coach.
True.
Yeah.
Coach. Intimate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was like, call me coach. I was like, this isn't Friday Night Lights.
He wants it to be, though.
It's a little off-putting.
Coach Hayes. I'm like, what? No. What's your actual name?
This is my father-in-law, Coach. No. But actually, I would, in a way, kind of like it because I feel uncomfortable, like, calling my father-in-law by his first name, but also calling him Mr. So-and-so, also calling him Dad.
So, like, you would appreciate a nickname in between.
Right. Yeah, so they came in. They brought a lot of gifts. Everyone seemed so excited. They all seemed very close. And one of the brothers is named Jermichael, which—
I missed that.
I wanted a chyron to see how it was spelled, but we didn't get one, so that was disappointing. He and his mom seem extremely—
They seem really close.
And his mom is the source of the drums.
Yeah,
clearly they were like, okay, this is out there. We need to address this.
I almost wonder if the producers said something like, you tell him or we will.
Because
otherwise, why? Like, it's a closed environment. Why would she assume?
I'm sure they said, hey, this needs to come out. This is something that's being talked about.
Yeah.
I also saw, so I did a little bit of research. So I think Reality Steve was the first one to break this story months ago. And he tweeted that apparently he was like, this definitely came from my site, but instead they said it came from her roommate. And he was like, that was something the producers must have told his mom to say because I have never been in touch with a roommate.
Who was he in touch with?
Yeah, you're not supposed to bring up Reality Steve.
Oh, right. Right. So I'm not that surprised if it did come from Reality Steve that they were like, okay, we need to not say that.
AKA roommate.
Right.
Maybe Reality Steve was the roommate.
He actually has to have a roommate to subsidize his reality TV addiction.
He tweeted, Robbie's mom, : there's an issue out there in the world. Translation, Reality Steve site, but producers maybe blame it on Hope's roommate. For the record, I've never spoken, emailed, texted, or ever heard from Hope's roommate in my life. So that was a lie. Sorry.
Wow.
He was like really going in. And also apparently today, I'm sad that it's not out yet because I want us to be able to discuss it on the podcast. He has an email from Hope that he's going to print today.
Oh, really?
That sets the record straight, apparently. Because he was
Hope
sort of breaking down.
Thoroughly trashed
right.
on this episode.
So this is the thing. He said the relationship was over 9 months ago. And then Reality Steve tweets like a photo of them in Italy 9 months ago. And then he says that their relationship ended in December when they had a fight. But someone tweeted, she congratulated him for turning 27 on January 5th on her Facebook, writing she loved him. So I'm like, there is some sketchiness going on.
But didn't JoJo say that they had broken up 3 months prior to the show?
Which would have been January.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but
and then
he was
he
like,
said December.
I'm going to be completely honest. The relationship was over 9 months before it actually ended, which huge red flag for me. Don't stay in a relationship that you are completely 100% checked out of because you don't have what it takes to end it and then in retrospect be like, it doesn't count because I didn't feel like it. And then he says it actually ended in late December, but there's evidence that it didn't. And that's his big, I'm being totally honest, like, I'm not sold.
I know. I'm not totally sold either. And I'm not like, you know, we don't know. Maybe he did feel done with the relationship. Maybe he happened, you know.
So he should have like broken up with her.
Right. Maybe he didn't directly break up with her to go on the show. But like this timing seems very suspect.
What do you think?
Personally, I broke up with somebody before I went on the show, probably about 3-4 months as well. And the thing is, you do stay with somebody longer sometimes than you should.
Yeah.
And we really can't judge because we don't know what they're trying to work on it those 9 months. And this was just like the breaking point where I don't know, something happened and he auditioned for the show maybe to move on.
I feel like I get that. I do. But to me, it's dishonest to say the relationship was over 9 months ago. If you were still working on that relationship, it wasn't over. Mm-hmm. You know?
I think it would have come off a little better if he had just owned it and said, look.
It was rocky.
It was rocky.
I wasn't fully invested anymore. And finally, I just realized that my heart wasn't in it at all.
I ended this relationship and then this opportunity came up really shortly afterwards. And so I get that the timing seems off, but I was totally ready to move on
at that point. I get that.
Right.
To me, when I hear I was totally over the relationship 9 months before I ended it, I'm like, what?
Also, it just doesn't seem true.
Yeah, it doesn't seem true.
If it is true,
it seems crappy to me. And then he's like, I stayed in a relationship that I was totally over because she said she would fix herself. I'm like, oh, my God.
He disclosed a lot.
He said a lot of stuff
I don't blame the ex for wanting to be like, hey, let me speak up for myself.
She would have to be abusive, who knows, but to justify the things that he said about her.
It's a little disrespectful because they were in a relationship for such a long time.
Right. Such a long time.
You know, you shouldn't bash somebody, I don't know, even in any respect.
Ended badly.
Yeah, even if it ended badly because you guys were together for so long.
And I feel like usually people don't.
Right.
You know, you allude to this ended, it didn't work out. Like, maybe, you know, even if someone cheated, often I feel like on the show, a person will be like, you know, there was some issues. There was some cheating, with Derek kind of alluding to things, but then not fully going on of this ex. He named her by name. He named the roommate by name. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, she it was toxic.
He just kept digging
it deeper and deeper, and now he can't really climb out because he has to explain it.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is you can tell it's a lot of pressure for him because he was talking to his siblings, I think, and he kept saying, you know, I haven't slept in the past couple of days. You don't realize how much anxiety I have. And you could tell that he's been nervous about bringing this up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell that she's wondering whether she should trust him. In the beginning of the date when they were in that horse-drawn carriage and he goes, oh, you know, you can trust me or something like that. And then she comments right after and goes, but can I?
Well, he's also wandering eye Robbie.
Yeah. Remember? It was a subtle, funny kind of jokey thing that she mentioned, but I don't know.
But
it's those little subtle things.
She'll say things as a joke that she's not actually joking about. We talked about this a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I? And you're like, you mean that. She does mean it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And I think that with Robbie, it's funny because she'll say things like, I totally 100% trust Robbie. He's been so open and honest. But it's so clear that she doesn't trust him.
For good reason.
Yeah. So
I also think that it's interesting to see the way that internet culture impacts a show like The Bachelor because there's so much out there that they can't just ignore it. I think they probably reached a point where they were like, this is being talked about already. Like, we need to address it in the show. And this was their attempt to sort of be like, yeah, we see that information's out there and we're going to have him talk about it.
I just think about it from the hometown perspective. Like, your parents, like I said earlier, have no interaction with you before you come home. And so all the information that they get is on the internet. And they scour Reality Steve. And so that's their reality. And so they think that probably – Robbie's family probably thinks that, you know, this is a big issue between JoJo and Robbie. And maybe that's why the mom brought it up. But when in reality, JoJo has no freaking clue about his ex. She could care less. And at the same time, she shouldn't focus on that because the only relationship she should focus on is the one in front of her and the feelings that she's feeling.
I do assume it would be pretty startling, though, to exit that bubble if she had chosen him and then be like, oh, wait, there's been so – I mean, to me, this is a high – because I don't usually – pay attention much to that kind of gossip, but this has been so much and for so many months that I feel like we've had to address it.
Chad really amped it up.
Right.
Thanks, Chad.
Thanks, Chad. Okay, we got to talk about Luke.
Yes.
Luke's aka his extended audition for The Bachelor.
So cute.
Oh my gosh. Right? This just felt like a pitch for why he should be the next Bachelor.
Sometimes
I don't hate it. I love these romantic moments. And, you know, the fact that he wanted to do something very sweet and unique for her in this, you know, in this, like, field setting. Like,
and it was so Texas. Yeah. It was so country Texas.
Yeah.
Sometimes I almost feel like I'm getting to know Luke less well over the weeks because he's just becoming more and more of someone who's straight out of a romance novel, like with a paperback cover that's just like the cowboy's desire.
He could be one of those cover models.
He could be one of those people.
Yeah. Where he's just like in his cowboy boots, like standing there with his hands on his hips, like when a piece of hay in his mouth.
He does the things inside too. Like he looks deep into her eyes and he's like, "You're all I ever need." And then he holds her head and he like kisses her powerfully. And then they go horseback riding. And it's like, that is what happens in the books. So not that I've read any of them. I just hear.
And that is why he will be a perfect next Bachelor.
That's true.
There'll be so many horses.
I would like that.
Yeah.
So they start the date with his family, and his family also includes everyone
the entire
else
town.
In the town.
Does it look familiar to you? Anyway, I'm just saying in past seasons, people love when you have that hometown feel when you, like, it's just, like, very convenient and it's very heartwarming when you have a lot of people that love you.
Right. It looks really sad, I guess, when you show up and it's like, here's my family. It's one person. And instead, you can be like, here's my family. Everyone loves me so much,
I couldn't not include the entirety of this little town.
I'm so lovable. Don't you want to be one of the people who sees why I'm so lovable?
I also appreciated that there were several men very earnestly wearing cowboy hats in this town.
Texas is a different place.
I know.
It was very genuine. It wasn't just like place.
They were like, this is what I wear.
Yes.
I was like, that happens.
Yeah.
I have not spent enough time in small town Texas.
And it was very important to Luke. Like, it's like a value to earnestly wear those things. At one point, he tells her, I looked over at you talking to my sister, and you were wearing your cutoff shorts and cowboy boots. And
he's never been more into her.
And I hope you felt that way too, like you fit in. And I was like, because she was dressed like she fit in, and she felt comfortable dressing like that, and that's like a value for him. It's so Texas. It was a lot. So she's sort of basically at a family reunion / small, like
town hoedown or something.
Yeah, she's wearing the boots that he gave her, which was very sweet.
Yeah. It was cute. I was like, someone must have told him her shoe size or else he got very lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's good sure taste, though. He's got really good taste.
I know, those are actually
he can go shopping for me anytime.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, I'll take a pair.
Yeah.
And he's usually, like, he looks good himself. Like, he dresses well. There were some guys on the show this season where I would look at the shirts they were wearing and be like, nah.
You're like, take it back.
How old is that? Like, do you know that you're on a show? Did you go shopping?
Like, I don't think that they sell shirts like that anymore because it's not the 1990s.
Luke's done well.
Yeah, plaid is also his pattern.
And I appreciate that. Plaid is a good choice.
He can wear plaid any day for me.
Yeah.
And Luke's mom and dad have been married 38 years. I'm like, okay, this is just another reason he'll be the Bachelor.
Yeah.
And he wants a marriage like his parents. He's, like, from small town America.
But he doesn't have a conflict. They haven't played up a conflict for him. Like, Ben's was that he was a handsome, lovable – not – sorry. A handsome, nice –
unlovable.
Wonderful quarterback who was unlovable.
Okay, let's like remember here though that unlovable piece didn't come out till like the second to last episode that he was on.
Really? I don't remember that.
It just seems like it was forever.
It seems like it's been always.
Yeah. It just came in very late. So maybe Luke's conflict is next week. So they're still trying to have you fall in love with him, and it's working. I can tell in your eyes.
It's really
you've got
working.
Those hearts.
Kayla sees right through us.
I know. Well, I just feel like at this point he's kind of the only viable choice for next Bachelor if he doesn't win. And I kind of think it's going to be Jordan, so.
Yeah, I agree. And I think someone pointed out, I think, on the AfterBuzz TV podcast that Jordan signed a sports casting contract with SEC TV. So he's kind of not available
not
to be
to
the Bachelor anyway.
Next Bachelor. I think, I mean, my prediction is he wins the thing, Luke's the next Bachelor.
Yeah. Finally, Luke takes JoJo away from
the mob.
The mob that was gathered in the backyard, which I just thought was an empty field.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I was like, where's the house? I didn't see a house that this was the backyard of.
So he takes her to another part of the backyard that's far away.
Yes.
And they sit on couches made out of hay, which
well,
were totally set up by Luke.
They horseback ride over
oh, yeah.
to the couch
romantic.
Of hay.
And a little doggy comes with them.
Oh, yeah.
So cute.
So cute.
And Luke apparently learned so much from being on The Bachelor because he has built them with his own two hands. Furniture made of hay.
Obviously.
Covered with rich blankets.
I know.
For
well,
them
well
to
done, ABC
on.
Interns. Well
yes.
done.
Nice and comfortable.
Yeah.
The stage was set. And like there was so much buildup. You were ready for him to say those magic words.
Mm. Why did he not say them?
I have no idea. This was your moment. And I guarantee you there were producers on the side that are like, this is it. This is it.
Go
You're
going to
do it.
Yeah.
Luke, Luke, Luke.
Yes. Yeah,
everyone's cheering him on. And
yeah.
Then,
and then he'll say things like, I can't wait to tell her I love her. And I'm like, you shouldn't wait. Why are you waiting?
You're like, this is actually the time when it becomes appropriate. When
right.
Robbie did it 3 weeks ago, it was weird. But now,
yeah, now you have
now you
to.
Can.
And he keeps saying, I can't wait. And it's like, you don't have to.
Well, what
Nothing
is
stopping you.
He yeah. says, my heart is yours. But he doesn't say, I love you.
I think he was referring to the flower heart.
Like, literally this heart.
We'll get to that. But they were sitting. I love how they always set them up in a beautiful place. And then the sunset is at their back. So, like, they can't look at the sunset. But we can.
Yeah.
Like,
it's more important if we see the sunset.
Yes. It was so beautiful.
It was beautiful.
It was really nice. I was like, God damn it.
I must say, though, like,
I
do have to give Luke some credit because if he wasn't ready to say I love you, then there's no reason to force it because that moment should be authentic.
Except
it totally
then at the
should.
End, he panicked and was like, oh, God,
yeah,
I gotta say
yeah.
it.
And
the
I,
thing is,
yeah.
he does keep saying that he loves her,
yeah.
not to her, and that he wants to say it and can't wait to say it. But, like, nothing is stopping him. That's the thing to me that is weird. But, yeah. No, I agree. It should be authentic.
Yeah.
I imagine it's those conversations always feel a little bit awkward and forced,
yeah.
maybe, because you're like, okay, now's the moment.
Right.
You have to say the thing.
Exactly. Because you know you know that this is when you're supposed to say it. And
yeah.
part of you is
yeah.
like, well, I don't want to say it because you want me to say it.
Yeah.
I want it to be when it's unexpected.
Yeah. When you said it for the first time on the show, did you see all the producers, like, silently fist pumping and stuff?
After, yeah. yeah. After I said I love you, they were, like, basically running on the beach behind me, like, confetti, where is it? yeah. But I, to an extent, understand where he's coming from because I, in my head, was going to tell Ben I loved him when I took him to that bench swing
yeah.
in my hometown. And, like, everyone was like, this is when you should say it.
And
I
just didn't.
Yeah. So.
Well, you were the one who earlier was like, I'm not going to tell you my deepest, darkest secrets just because you want me to.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved that moment.
Yeah.
I was like, that feels very real
yeah.
to me.
JoJo is doing a similar thing that Ben was doing, too. It's just like, so tell me your secrets. And it's like, okay, but, like, you have to try a little bit harder,
yeah.
you know?
Pull it out of
yeah.
them a little bit.
be like a journalist here, you know? Like, work it out. And then he's like, I have another surprise for you. And he leads her down a pathway made of candles
to a heart,
made of
flowers. So many things made out of other things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then did you notice? Also, he's like, I want you to know my heart is yours. And, like, the country music just swells.
And it was really beautiful.
It was so beautiful. I was tearing up. But he never let her stand inside the heart. And I think that's some very powerful symbolism.
That's so
they
true.
They stood next to the heart.
Wait, that's so funny.
They should have been in it.
They should have been in it.
A real missed opportunity.
Yeah.
yeah.
Much like how he still did not say I love you, even at that moment. And I was like, if you didn't want to do it on the couch made of hay,
yeah,
do it
by the heart made of flowers.
yeah. What you guys didn't see is that there's probably another walkway that we didn't get to film.
Yeah. A walkway made of balloons.
Yes.
So we go right from this swell of country music to, like, the most ominous hangar. ever back in LA. Oh, I was like, is someone going to get murdered? Because the music sounded sinister.
I'm really nervous. And I was like, because you're all going to get murdered with an axe right now. It was super creepy.
I was like, it just seemed like something horrific was going to happen. Not like one of these men is going to have to leave this reality show. It was like, someone's going to die.
Yeah, it felt very abrupt. And it's like, who's around the corner?
Yeah, exactly.
Chris Harrison.
Harrison in a clown mask with a knife. Like, I don't know. Like,
it was only a matter of time.
I don't have enough to do.
It was
great
because they got a great voiceover clip teaser from it where they had someone saying, I want to be able to get on that plane and fly to the next place. And it sounds like that person just wants to go on a great trip. But really, it's because they're in an airplane hangar and either they're getting on the plane and going,
or they're exiting stage left.
Yeah, it's like, that's literally what will happen next. So that was really clever.
Producer, JoJo comes in that blue dress. She looks so good.
This is the prettiest dress I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I was like,
oh my
gosh,
she should wear that every day.
It is amazing. I was like, her boobs look great.
Like, pretty much every dress JoJo wears, I think, is the prettiest dress I've ever seen in my life.
I think this one was my favorite, though. There was something about how much it was covered in the back that made it even sexier in that, like, mermaid-esque material.
Yeah. I just differ here because I'm a back girl. I like a plunging back.
Well, I like one or the other. I think
fair. That's fair. Tasteful.
It was just a nice contrast. Yeah. I was very into this dress.
No, Carrie is her stylist, and he does such a good job picking things out. And I'm so happy that he saved this dress to this point where it's the final four, and it's kind of getting very serious.
Yeah.
And it gave us a moment. So even though there was a cliffhanger, we're going to watch next week just for the dress.
Yeah, exactly. We get to see the dress again. So we got a cliffhanger because she's about to send Luke home. I gasped a little bit when
Me
she
too,
said
because
Luke.
She sounded so clear about
but
it.
But now I think for sure she's not going to send Luke home because she said it.
Well, everyone, I was watching at the office with some coworkers to do the Facebook Live after show, and they all were so shocked that they immediately started talking, and I was like, shut up, because you're talking over the important part, because she's obviously not actually sending him home right now if she said it before the rose ceremony.
Right.
So we need to hear what's happening. So obviously what ended up happening was the cliffhanger, but she could still send him home.
I don't think so. He pulled her aside.
Yeah, it's tough.
You know, the thing is, with these things, you never really know. It's always about in the moment. And JoJo can do whatever she wants. It's all in her hands.
Yeah.
And, do you remember when Lace pulled Ben aside that one time? And we thought that he might send her home after that because she started this controversy?
Yeah, you never know. You never, have any idea. And I think that she has been wanting to hear the I love you from Luke for a while, but there's still... And I think that was the tipping point because she has three identical-looking guys who she feels very strongly about, maybe identically about, except for Jordan. And she was like, what is the thing that I can use to differentiate someone?
He hasn't said I love you.
It's true.
And now that's gone. So what's she going to do?
I kind of think Chase is going to end up going home. Which now I'm sad about, and before I wouldn't have been sad about.
I still like
Luke
better.
That would be sad.
I like Luke better as well, and I also think Luke has to stay for week three if he's going
to
be.
I also think Chase needs to be on the show.
He's
going
to stay
for
the third to last episode. He needs to be in the final three if he's going to be the next Bachelor. And before we fully wrap up, we just want to talk to you, Kayla, a little bit about what you're up to.
Of course. Thank you.
So you moved to New York recently.
I did, yes. I moved about 4 months ago, and I'm loving it. Upper East Side is my new hometown.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah. I used to live on the Upper East Side.
It's so nice. So many good restaurants. Yeah. And so I've been just working for a fitness startup. And it's great because the Bachelor community, we still hang out and there's a bunch of people.
I feel like now there's more people in New York than there used to be.
There's a handful. Olivia.
Right.
Yeah. Charlene.
If you've met Charlene. Yeah, we love Charlene.
She's amazing. Yeah. And, Mike.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's great.
Yeah, all the best people live in
New
York.
Cool, chill people end up moving to New York. It takes a certain type to make the move.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, Andy. Yeah, so you've got to get a good group.
Yeah. And you went on Bachelor in Paradise? Can we not talk about that? Do we have to cut that?
What the heck? We get
Yeah. We won't give anything away.
I might. I might have gone on a vacation in Mexico recently.
Okay. Yeah.
Looking a little tan.
Yeah, thank you. It is not bronzer.
Did you have fun? I know you can't give us any details, but, like, did you have a good time?
I had a blast. And it is one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen in my life. And
good.
And there are a lot of good people that you meet. And so I think it's going to be a very dramatic, seriously, I mean, when I think about it, it's going to be very dramatic.
Oh, man. So, oh, God. Are you involved in any of the drama?
Maybe. Maybe.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Actually, no. I mean, it's not really my personality. But
yeah, I
mean,
was going to say, I feel like you're someone who stays a little bit out of the fray.
Yeah, no matter what, you'll see me with a cocktail in hand and we'll just – it'll be circling.
I think I would be pretty, like, constantly tipsy if I was – on a resort in Mexico with, like, a million other people. So do you get to meet a lot of people that you had heard about but hadn't met yet?
Yes. So, exactly. So a lot of these people I hadn't really been in contact with. And so meeting them for the first time and seeing their personalities amplified.
So funny.
It's literally like a beach full of fireworks. It's crazy.
Wow.
And you had some friends there from your season, right?
I did. Emily and Haley are there. Amanda's there. And
Jubilee, right?
Jubilee's there.
So we did see Emily and Haley applying each other's makeup in a teaser.
I know, and I'm so mad they never did my makeup. I still need a tutorial.
Yeah, you're like, that's very, that's weird.
You can't see this because it's a podcast, but for the record, Kayla's makeup looks great right now.
As does her hair, obviously.
You guys are the best.
We were both a little intimidated. We were like, our hair has to look great today.
Yeah, it was really stressful. What's going on, like, in your personal life? Have you met anyone special since The Bachelor?
Since The Bachelor, I've been dating around New York. It's really hard.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So I'm glad
who dates in New York, I feel.
Yeah,
I feel you.
Give you guys credit that you found some good eggs. But
she did. I'm still. Oh,
still. Okay. Well, we could date together.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll go on some double dates. It'll be. Yeah. We'll have some good stories.
Well, I'm seeing someone right now. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
Yeah, it is hard to, like. Before I met my fiance, I was dating for like several years in New York, and I don't think I made it past a third date. It's like the worst. So I like props to you guys.
No, and especially I would assume like there's an extra layer when you're someone who's just been on a TV show. And like, did people bring that up to you when you would go on dates?
No,
that's good.
But yeah. It's good then they don't bring it up. And it's more if they do bring it up, it's like, oh, my sister watched you, or like my mom loves you. And I'm like, oh, we're already talking about your mom. Yeah. We're already there.
You're like, oh, okay.
At least she already loves you.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be not that.
That's
it could
true.
Be like, my mom watched you and she thought you were actually the season's villain. And she will not approve of our relationship.
Yeah, I haven't felt that so far, so I will tell you.
That's good.
Yeah, so dating's been good, and I just have my own little blog, too, so.
Yeah,
tell us about your blog. What's it called?
Yeah, my blog is called Monthful Kayla, and it's just doing these little, making these little goals once a month and trying out new things and, kind of exploring life itself.
And if our listeners want to find your blog.
Of course, it's Monthful, M-O-N-T-H-F-U-L, Kayla.com.
Yes. Cool. So everyone check it out. Thanks so much for joining us, Kayla.
This was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Until next time then.
Yeah. So we're going to skip Feminism Fails this week because we didn't meet JoJo's parents, and so there was no opportunity for all of the men to request her hand in marriage. So we're going to go right to the tweet of the week.
This week's tweet of the week comes from Simone McGallanan at ET Phone Simone. Clever handle, Simone. If I had to characterize JoJo's type, it'd be 80s movie jock villain.
Fact.
We could not agree more. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Kayla Quinn, with the really good hair. And as always, to our producer, Nick Offenberg.
Do you want to make our day, our week, even our life? Here's something. Find Here to Make Friends on iTunes to subscribe and give us a rating. Every time we get a new subscription or review, our show rises up the iTunes chart, which helps other people find our show. In related news, Here to Make Friends is now on Facebook. Please like us. We love to be liked. You can also find us on Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
Or you can send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffingtonpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week to recap the fantasy suites and the men tell all.
Action-packed fun.
Don't miss it.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.